I'd like to point out the difficulty in connection with each of the two themes. I'll first mention the difficulties in connection with the theme of Francis Scott. In discussing it, I'll first elaborate upon the theme of Fayate, but in presenting the difficulties, I feel that I have to mention the difficulties contained in Papis Calling first. Now, the Torah says in Papis Calling, Kisiso Eschiz me Yisroel Yisgudayem, Vinos me Yiskei Fanasir Adishem, Piskei Deisom, Velo Yiyer Bohem Neger, Piskei Deis. According to Rashi and the Ramban and all the Mephoshim except for the parish of the Goyen in Adaret Elio, the Yotni Yishkei Fanafshei Ladishem is reference to Machshis Hashem. Now Machshis Hashem, as we all know, is an independent obligation. Whether a census of the Jewish population is taken or not, it is incumbent upon every Jew the time of the Hamikdash to pay a certain tax which is to be used in the offering of the communal sacrifice, the Korban Sidur. Why then did the Torah link Machshis HaShekel with the taking of the census? So the Mephoshim give the answer that in the parasha of Skoli, the Torah mentions two halachas. One halacha is that the Machshis HaShekel is to be given, regardless whether a census of the population is taken up. That's the first halacha. The second halacha is that if Israel wants to take a full census of its population, then the taking of the census must be coupled with the giving of a Machshis HaShekel on the part of each and every Jew. A Machshis HaShekel is to be given every year regardless whether a census is taken of the population, but if a census is taken, then it must be coupled with a Machshis HaShekel. Even if every member of the Jewish community has already fulfilled his obligation of paying Machshis HaShekel as such. Now, the part of Skolin, according to Rashi, mentions three obligations of Skolin, of the nation. One obligation was the obligation that was incumbent upon the Israelites to pay a Machshis HaShekel for the purpose of establishing the sacket of the Mishkan, the pillars, the Adonim. Then, now this obligation was a temporary obligation, not a permanent, not a theirs. Then there was an obligation that is permanent, and that is the Machshis HaShekel that is to be given to the Hamikdash, to the Hamikdash, and which is to be used in the offering of Korban HaSidur. Then it is mentioned also that every Jew was obligated to donate towards the Olim, the Lokachto, Eskechet HaKipurim Meizmei Yisroel, Vinosato Eisei Yalavinda Teyomei, Vahoyom Yisroel 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 Yisroel. It is not clear as to whether the obligation contained in Potik Tezayin represents a temporary obligation that was made in his mouth, or it represents also a permanent obligation. The Ramban says that the commandment contained in Tosh Zahon also contains a permanent obligation. The Raya of the Ramban is from the Haftorah of Bar-Dikoy. For Yehoda exhorted the Israelites to pay their dues to the Bethanish, and that was for the Beit HaMikdash, not for the Tumah Kohen. There is one distinction between the dues that were to be paid for the Avodah Shemayim on one hand, and the dues that were to be paid for the Adon, which was a temporary obligation, and for the Tumah Kohen. The dues that were to be paid for the Adonim and for the Kabbalah Shibo were fixed dues. As to these dues, there is the Aloche of Rosh Yom Yabe, the Adar Yam. According to the Ramban, if someone donates less than a Machzik HaShekel, or even if a rich man makes an attempt to donate more, he's either allowed to write. He's Machzik, as from the Ramban, against the Ramban, as to why he does not include it in the Minyan Rav. And the same Rav applies to the Shkolim of Gadol, which was temporary. But in those days, it was forbidden for a Jew to donate towards the Adonim more than a Machzik HaShekel. However, in respect to the dues that were to be paid for Avodah Shemayim, for Beit HaMikdash, there was a minimum of Machzik HaShekel, as the Rambam points out. But there was no maximum. Kifi Nidrashim. In connection with Parashat. The difficulty, if it's not the halachic difficulty, so at least a metaphysical difficulty, consists in the nature of the obligation. The Torah characterizes this obligation as King Hanesh. Ransomine. The question arises, ransomine for what? Whenever Tracer is to be given, there is certain guilt that attaches to a person, culpability in hearing in a person. What kind of guilt in hearing in you do that on account of which he is to pay the Machzik HaShekel by way of ransom money. This is one difficulty. The second difficulty is the expression of the Rojir Vohem Negev Viskundali. Rashi says, the Rojir Vohem Negev, Sha'amiyim Shelit Bey, Aymoro, the Adeza Boalayim, Mishimatim of Negev. Anything that is subjected to account is capable of being affected by the evil eye. That seems to be completely mysterious. How could account bring a catastrophe and a calamity upon the people? And the Torah says, there will be a negative experience. If a census is taken about the population, and if it is not coupled with the payment of Machzik HaShekel, then the Jewish community will be exposed to the possibility of being overtaken by theft. That has to be explained. We also have to understand the reason as to why the Torah imposed a fixed place as to the dues, which is both a minimum and a maximum. we can very well understand as to why there is a minimum, as to why no one should pay less to Nazi Hashem. But why should you be forbidden to donate more if his heart so desires? These are the difficulties in respect to Pascal. Now, in respect to Vayakhev. At the beginning of Vayakhev, he immediately takes notice of an affinity between Sabbath and Mishkan. The Seder of Vayakhev commences with Moses' exhortation to the Israelites as to the sanctity of the Sabbath day. And then Moses concedes with the exhortation as to the building of the sanctuary. That was done already in Parshas Kisi, where Moses first advised the Israelites as to the sanctity of the Sabbath, as to the Beit HaMikdash, and then he interrupted the discussion of the Mishkan Seder with the discussion of Sabbath. Then the Mishkan Seder and the Sabbath Seder were interrupted by the narration of the episode of the golden calf. And then, at the beginning of Vayakhev, Moses again exhorts the Israelites as to the sanctity of the Sabbath and the Mishkan. Obviously, there is an affinity between Mishkan and Sabbath. From the juxtaposition of the Mishkan and the Sabbath, our sages deduced a very important halacha, namely that Mirachat Shabbos is determined by Mirachat Mishkan. Whatever type of work that was employed in connection with the construction of the tabernacle is considered a Mirachat Mishkan. Of work that was not employed in connection with the construction of the tabernacle is not considered a law. This is the hour. It might be worthwhile to understand this connection between Mirachat HaMishkan and Mirachat Shabbos. But in order to understand this affinity between Mirachat HaMishkan and Mirachat Shabbos, we must first delve into the significance of the Sabbath Seder and into the significance of the Mishkan Seder. The truth is that Sabbath strives towards the same goal that the Mishkan strives. Whatever Sabbath tends to accomplish in the realm of time, the Mishkan tends to accomplish in the realm of space. Sabbath is thus the sanctuary of time. By taking notice of the aspects inherent in Sabbath, we will, ipso facto, take also notice of the aspects inherent in the Midrash, or the Mishkan, which is the same and identical thing. Now the Torah says in Bereishis, Vayichu ha'shamayim va'aretz l'chol tov, Vayichal ha'yitzim bayim ha'tzvim melachti asher oto, Vayichbeiz bayim ha'tzvim mikol melachti asher oto, ויגור החלטים אצלו מהשביעי ויקבי שישוי כיווי שבת מקום מלאכתי אשר בו על עצמה. To paraphrase this briefly, the Torah declares that with the son of the sixth day of Jesus in the place he's setting, Hashem Yisbarach, terminated the process of creation. And there was a cessation of words on the part of Almighty God. And that consequently, at that moment, Almighty God blessed the seventh day and sanctify it for all the generations to come. The reason being, because on that day, the voice of Afrikom Lachte, on that day Hashem seized, he terminated. The whole process of work that was done in the course of Jesus in the grace. It thus is that with the beginning of the first Sabbath, there was a complete cessation of the process of creation. But how can we conceive such something? We say in our prayers, HaMichadish B'Tuvei B'Chol Yoyim Ma'afirash, that God revives and renews the mighty graces every day. This expression implies that creation never ceased. There was never a pause in which Almighty God terminated the process of creation. Creation is an endless and eternal process. How can this concept of Al-Khadir B'Tuvei B'Chol Yoyim Tomim Ma'asei Bereishis be reconciled with the concept of V'Yichal Elokim B'Yom HaTshiʼi Mirachtei Asher Oso V'Yizbei B'Yom HaTshiʼi Mikol Mirachtei Asher Oso? The two seem to negate each other. But the answer is that there are two kinds of creations. There is a creation that is designated in Tanakh by the term of Brio, and there is a creation that is designated in Tanakh by the term of Yitzhak. These two terms have reference to the two separate inhering in creation. Prior is derived, according to Rashi and according to the Rabbah and according to the Ebenezer, from the term Bohoi. Bohoi means to destroy, to tear down. It is mentioned in the Yeshua in connection with the complaint that was filed by the Menach as to the insufficiency of territory that was allotted to them. And the answer of Yeshua to the Bnei Menashe was, Leichu Yayaho, Ubroi Leichu Misham. If you don't have enough space, then why don't you go to the forest and tear down some trees? Ubroi Leichu Misham. Ubroi means tearing down, destroy. Consequently, the Radak says that Goholi, from which the term Bohol is derived, means to destroy. What has creation to do with destroying? First blush, it seems that creation, Brio, signifies the direct antithesis of destruction. The answer is that an act of creation is inevitably bound up with the process of destruction. According to our sages, before this world came into being, the world that we know and that it exists in the present fashion, before it came into existence, there were other worlds, as Chabad says in Medrash. What happened to the other world? The other destined to survive. And the creation of the other worlds consisted of a process of creation that was incessantly coupled with destruction. And we know that the energy that is harnessed in every piece of matter is capable of releasing an ocean of destruction upon the world. We know what the release of the energy harnessed in one small bomb could achieve in terms of destruction and havoc in war. How much more destruction was there when Almighty God Himself released, before this world came into being, the unlimited resource of energy. And the process of creation that took place prior to the time that this world in the present fashion came into being was a process of creation that was coupled with destruction. And consequently, these prior worlds were not destined to survive. But the only world that was destined to survive is the world that we know, in which we exist. Why? Because of the principle of Sabbath that inheres in this world, of rest. When the Torah says, "Vashamaritim bayim atzim lachdei atzorto," "Vashboim bayim atzim mikom lachdei atzorto," the Torah has reference only to the process of Brina. When the sun of the sixth day of Pentecost in a gracious second, there was a pause and a complete cessation to this process of Brina that had been taking place until this moment by Almighty God. And henceforth, there was no creation coupled with destruction. But a new process of creation has begun at that moment. Namely the process of Yetzirah. Yetzirah is derived from the term Tzura. I'm sure that you all know what Tzura means. Tzura means form. Everything consists of Elam and Tzura. Now, let's take a watch that stops. A watch that stops has the bilum of a watch. Because everything that a watch has is not there. But if it stops, then it does not have the tzura of a watch. Simply because it does not fulfill the function of a watch. It is only when a person winds the watch and the watch starts moving that the gilam of the watch becomes coupled with the tzura of the watch. The tzura is derived from the term tzura, formation, endowing the world with form, so that each and every object in the world could fulfill its special function, and so that the world in its entirety as a cosmos could fulfill its function. This is Yetzirah. When we say in our prayers, "Hamishchol b'tuvei b'choyein tomli ma'asei bereishis," we have reference not to the process of Brio, which terminated at the end of Pesach in the Bereishis, but rather to the process of Yetzirah, formation. The process of formation is an endless process. It never ceases. Every time spike baby is born, there is a process of eating one. Every time a tree spike falls, there is a process of the cure. Every time a doctor injects a vaccine into the body of a person, there is a process of the cure. Simply because through vaccination, the child becomes immune against a certain disease, and thereby the existence of the child is preserved and maintained. It is not coupled with any act of destruction. When a nuclear physicist makes a hydrogen bomb, then he performs an act of brilliance, because that is the kind of creation that is coupled with destruction. But when a doctor performs an act of immunization, then he performs an act of cure. And powers are then terminated. The process of brilliance. By Howler, it seems by my tree, the last day I saw it all. By his base, by my tree, Nicole, the last day I saw it. But this cessation from the process of brilliance was coupled with the commencement of the process of nuclear. Until the beginning of the first out of race, there was no nuclear in the world. There was an incessant creation that was inevitably coupled with destruction. But from that moment on, there was a continuous process of it. No destruction, but I'm having the two days before the end of my place. I can continually, day after day, renewed and revives the mind separation without the concomitant of the thought. Now we say in the Musaf of Rishchidesh, Ato yotzarto in locho mikedem. Now God has created the world since then. At first blush it seems that it should have been written Ato yotzarto in locho beikedem. Why Mikedem? The answer is, if the term Bria had been mentioned, then it would have been said, Ato Bo'otso Ilom Ho'Beikedem, because the process of Bria terminated at the end of the universe. But the term Tio is mentioned, formation. Therefore, we say, Ator Yotator Ilom Ho'Mikedem, ever since the cessation of Bria, Hashem has continually been recreating and renewing the world. So Shabbos is dedicated to two concepts. One concept is the concept of Bria. Shabbos is dedicated to the concept of the cessation of Bria. But the cessation of Bria was coupled with the commencement of Yetzirah. Shabbos is also dedicated primarily to the concept of Yetzirah. Now, when we delve very carefully into the commandment of Shabbos as it is formulated in the first breath in this call, and when we compare it with the formulation of the commandment of Shabbos as it is formulated in the second breath in the canon, then we take cognizance, we are bound to take cognizance of an apparent discrepancy. The motive for sabot is priatoyo, as it is mentioned in the Aseret Hadibot. Zohi yetu na sabot ke kachoy, seite shiom in taro, liyosi shekom lach teko. Vim atvi sabot parishom lach teko. ולצעתך ומלוכו, אתו ובינכו ובתכו, אבתכו ועמוסכו ובנתכו, ודירך עכשיו בשבילנו. What is the reason? What is the motive? כי חייסס יום ימוסה ושם את השמיים ואת האורץ, את היום ואת כל השבום, ויום הבאים השבי, אלכים דורך ושם את אימא שבת את השבי. The motive is בריאת היום. The creation of heaven and earth never can contain in that. But in a canon, another motive is mentioned. Not Priyat Olam, but Yitziyat Yisrael. The Torah says in its canon, Shomer Eshim HaShabbos V'Kachoy, Kachot Yitzchad Yishem Olekechol. Sheishes Yomim Tavol, V'yoshi Shochom Lachtecho, V'yim Ashvi Shabbos Vad Yishem Olekechol. V'yishatecho Melocho, Ato V'incho V'itecho V'yavdecho V'amosecho. ושיחו וחמיחו וכל באמצעו וגיחו אתה בשעריכו למעיינו החפיחו ועמוסכו חמיחו וזוכרתו כעבד או יישו בארץ יצחאי ויצאחו עד ישם רכחו משום להיות חזוקו ובזרי הנטויו אוקיי, ציפו עד ישם רכחו להחדים עכשיו The reason for the obligation of observing the sanctity of Sabbath is the fact that Almighty God delivered the Israelites out of Egypt. What is Sabbath to do with the delivery of the Israelites from Egypt? Pesach has to do is linked up with Yitzhiyat Yitzchai. But what is the connection between Sabbath and Yitzhiyat Yitzchai? Sabbath existed before Yitzhiyat Yitzchai. Hashem sanctified and blessed Sabbath. At the end of Genesis in the Bereshis, the answer is that these two motives represent the two aspects of Shabbos. One aspect of Shabbos is the cessation from Brio. The other aspect is complete dedication to Yeshua. In this call, the Torah mentions the aspect of cessation from Brio. In Eschanon, the Torah mentions the aspect of dedication to the concept of Yitzhak. Why is Shabbos called the Mikra Kodesh? Because on Shabbos, a Jew is to dedicate himself completely to the process of Yitzhak. Now, Yitzhak manifests itself in two realms. In the physical realm, and in a spiritual realm. Yitzhak means the realization of one's potential. Yitzhak in reference to man means the formation of the world, the realization of the potential that inheres in the world in its entire. Yitzhak in respect to man means the realization of the potential inherent in each and every individual, which primarily manifests itself on a spiritual and intellectual level. Now, Yitzhak Mitzrayim bears out the Jewish concept of freedom. Hashem delivered the Israelites out of Egyptian bondage because men were created to be a free agent. And if he is held in thraldom and in bondage, then he cannot be a free agent. As long as he is a servant, he cannot realize his own potential. quality at the time was to enable Israel to realize the potential in healing in Israel, and thereby enabling all of mankind ultimately to realize the potential in healing in mankind in its entirety. This means that Yitzhak Mitzrayim proclaims the concept of Yitzhak. It proclaims the concept that man should be free. Every man is to form himself. Man was only miserable by Hashem, but was not completely formed by Hashem. It is man himself who can endow himself and who can utilize the form that he hears in him. Consequently, the Torah in its canon mentions the motive of Yitzhak Mitzrayim in respect to Shabbos. Nowadays, in my Machadal, in Moy, Shomru Yisrael, Shteis Avotis, Miyad Yimko, if the Israelites had observed two Sabbaths in the year, then they would have immediately been redeemed. Now today, we all know that the bulk of the Jewish people is not disposed towards an observance even of one Sabbath. But there were times in Jewish history when our ancestors observed not one Sabbath and not two Sabbaths, but all the Sabbaths of the year. And still, they were not redeemed. How then can we explain this, my Mahada? The answer to this question is contained in the passage of Vayesh that I quoted before. ויבורך הריתים עשרים השביעי ויקם מחיסוי כי בואי שרת מקום מלאכתוי אשר בור הריתים רב. Hashem blessed the seventh day and he sanctified it. For on that day Hashem terminated the process of Bria, of creation, which Hashem created Lachos in order that it be perfect, in order that that formation be constantly indulging. We very well understand the meaning of our tradition. Hashem sanctified the Sabbath day. How did Hashem sanctify the Sabbath day? The answer was already mentioned. By dedicating the Sabbath day to the Mikvah, by dedicating the Sabbath day to the concept of Yitzhak. The concept of formation, which includes physical formation as well, but primarily spiritual and intellectual formation. But what the meaning of Vayvorech Elokim Eshim Ashri? How can we apply the appellation of Bracha to Bracha? We can very understand the concept of Bracha in respect to human beings, but in respect to time, it's something intangible. Time was blessed. In what way was the Sabbath day blessed? You know the Shalei on me, on the Sabbath day, the same way as it is made on all the other days. The sun rises and sets on the seventh day of the week in the same way as it rises and sets on all the other days. Nature follows its course on the Sabbath day in the same way as it follows its course on all the other days of the week. In what way was the Sabbath day blessed and satisfied and angry at someone watching. You can understand the meaning of Ivorach in the topic of Ivorach Reginus Yom HaShvi if we take cognizance of the true meaning of Braha that is used in connection with Ephraim and us. I will discuss the meaning of that topic. V'avorech l'isham Yisrael v'yim ahu l'imeya b'cho yivorech Yisrael l'imeya yisimcho l'ikim k'Ephraim l'chnas. Whereupon, Rashi makes a comment that any time a person will be eager to bless his children, or any time a teacher will be eager to bless his disciples, he'll say to them, Sehayti Ephraim l'chnas. Thou shalt be like Ephraim l'chnas. In other words, the bracha of Ephraim l'chnasya, the blessing conferred by Jacob upon Ephraim l'chnasya, consisted in that he declared Ephraim and l'chnasya as examples, as patterns for all other children. So that whenever one wants to take someone as a pattern, as an example, he'll take Ephraim l'chnasya. So the essence of Braha consists in being set aside and marked off as patterns for something else or for someone else. It is clear now that the term Vayvorech in the expression of Vayvorech Alekim Ephim Ashvi has a similar meaning. Hashem blessed the seventh day of week. How did we bless it? Not by installing special laws of nature that would operate only on the seventh day of the week. No. The same laws of nature operate on the seventh day as on the other days of the week. But simply he blessed, Almighty God blessed the seventh day of the week by declaring and marking off the setting aside the seventh day of the week as a pattern for the other days of the week. The task of the seventh day of the week is not the sanctity if you, the Jewish people on the seventh day, on the seventh day of the week, to the exclusion of all the other days of the week. The task of the sanctity of the Sabbath day is that it should be mashpiach, that it should elevate the Gedusha until the other days of the week. This is the meaning of Vayvorech Elokim et Yom HaShvi Vayikadeshit. And it is remarkable that the Torah mentioned the blessing conferred upon the seventh day first, and the sanctity infused into the seventh day second. It seems that the Kedusha should have been mentioned first, and the blessing second. Because without Kedusha, how can there be any blessing? But the Torah mentions Vayvorech first, and then Vayikadesh. The answer is very simple. Because the Kedusha infused into the seventh day of the week would be without any avail, without any purpose. If it is to be limited only to the seventh day, of what avail will be the Kedusha infused into the seventh day? Of what avail will be the sanctity manifested by Jews on the seventh day, if immediately after our door, they resort back to all the prosperity that is typical of the 7 days of the week? In order that the Kedusha of Shavuot should fulfill a function, then it must be capable of having the Kedusha unto the 7 days of the week. Consequently, the Vayvorech is mentioned first, and then Vayikadesh. This is what our sages mean when they say, your mole shows or your stay sabbath is not in the coming. Our sages do not mean stay sabbath is parsif ayakil and parsif kudai, even though it would be a very worthwhile thing for the Israelites to observe these two sabbaths. But our sages mean something else. They mean the sabbath of the seventh day and the sabbath of the sixth day, similar to one. If the Israelites had comprehended fully the meaning of the Yom Kippur, that the gift of the Sabbath day is not to be limited only to the same day of the week, but it is to every gift and to all the days of the week. And that the goal that the Torah has in mind is the Yom Kippur Sabbath, Yom Kippur Chayayon, when every day of the week will be saturated with Bishop. When every day of the week will be dedicated primarily to the concept of Yitzhak. Yitzhak in a physical sense, but primarily Yitzhak in a spiritual sense. Then the Israelites would have been redeemed. They would have attained spiritual redemption, and that would unavoidably have led to physical redemption. Now, we can understand the affinity between Sabbath and the tabernacle, the Mishkan. Whatever type of work that prevailed in connection with the construction of the tabernacle constitutes a law. Now, when I say created man, a mandate was imposed upon, which is mentioned in the Sukkim of Voices, dealing with Sabbath. Ki voishavat mikol malachtei yasher baro lechimra. And as the Ibn Ezra and the Cheskuni point out, which I mentioned already, that lastly signifies that man, when he was created, he was not created in a perfect form. He was created in an imperfect form, in order that man might become a partner with the Kaviyot and collaborate with Almighty God in the upbuilding of the world, in improving upon the world. The task was imposed upon men to become a partner with Hashem, even in the physical upbuilding of the world. And Hashem said to men, it was imposed upon men the mandate that he become a partner with Almighty God in the spiritual upbuilding of the world. And it comes within the mandate of men to become a partner of God in the realm of Briah and in the realm of Yitzhak. Men have to resort to a process of Briah in a human way. In the construction of the Mishkan, various types of work, physical work, were employed. The Israelites had to sow and to plant, to harvest and to slaughter certain animals in connection with the construction of the Mishkan. All these types of work that the Israelites resorted to in connection with the building of the tabernacle were work that come within the scope of Briah, simply because all the Lamed what was done in connection with Mishkan, Lamed all the Lamed with the exception of one law, namely the Malacha of Yitzhak, which is a category by itself, and which is characterized by the same name as the Malacha of Gruah. All the other Melachet, all the 38 types of work come within the scope of Briah, simply because each one of the Melachet is coupled with an act of destruction. Whenever one is taken here, when one harvests, when one plucks and reaps, then It is an act of creation, we could put up to that. But it is coupled with an act of destruction. He destroys vegetable life. Whenever someone simply destroys an animal, even though he does it for a very lofty purpose, in order to provide food for men, thereby enabling men to maintain and preserve his existence, is very lofty purpose. The purpose partakes of the concept of Ikkyo. But the act itself is an act of Bryo. By slaughtering an animal, you destroy animal life. But it is a necessary act of Bryo. At the beginning, Hashem did not grant any license to men to destroy animal life. After the battle, men were not allowed to eat any animal food, only vegetables. But, as the Rambam points out in his commentary on Noach, after the battle, men's organism weakened, and Hashem took notice of the frailty and of the weakness of the men, and he consequently granted a license to men to use animals as food for his organism in order to maintain his existence. The purpose partakes of Kitsiro, but the act itself is an act of Kitsiro. Hashem licensed it and approved of it. But all the 38 types of work included in the Antismos consists of activities, productive activities, because if it's not productive, then it's not in Aloha and Shavos. A Mikautio is proper. Only if it's a Mikautio or a Fritakari. If one tears down a building, it's only hired if he has a lofty purpose in mind. If he just tears down, then it does not represent any extra creation. But if he tears down a bomb with the view of building something nicer, something better, then it becomes an act of creation. That is coupled with destruction, which Hashem licensed on the 6 days of the week. But on the Sabbath day, Hashem forbade it. Nothing that comes within the scope of Bria is to be performed on the Sabbath day, because on the 7th day of the week, Hashem himself terminated the divine process of Bria. Consequently, men is to emulate God. And on the 7th day of the week, he is not indulged in any act that partakes of Bria. Regardless of the productivity of the act, of the importance of the act, it is not to be indulged in. And there is a topic at the beginning of the year. Of the Sivar Leiv B'chol Mitzvah and B'Yimatah. Which, according to our sages, implies that Mitzvah Bezdin is forbidden on Shabbos. But not only is the execution of capital punishment forbidden on Shabbos, the execution of any penalty is forbidden on Shabbos. Malchus, the execution of Malchus, which does not mean involve any violation of the Rabbis of Malchus. This also comes within the prohibition of the Zifah, of the Zifah ways, the Holy Fisation, the Yom Mashas. Malchus comes within the scope of the Zifah ways, the Holy Fisation, the Shabbos. Even imprisonment comes within the prohibition of the Zifah ways, the Holy Fisation, the Yom Mashas. The three elements in Israel are not satisfied with this law, because according to this law, a policeman cannot arrest a criminal at home. How else there is to God Nefesh? A dangerous criminal who is capable of attacking human beings, he can be arrested, he should be arrested. But otherwise, you're not allowed to arrest a person at home, even if he deserves a certain penalty. And even though the execution of the penalty does not involve any violation of God's law. Why? Because the execution of an English, even the execution of an English by business capital, represents an act of real in a spiritual sense. It represents an act of destroying, of hurting a human being. He deserves it. He's Chayav Malchus. He was a Chalas Goyim, he's a Mu'alach Achim. But it still represents an act of creation. It's indispensable towards the perpetuation of the Jewish people. But still, it is coupled with an act of destruction, of harm. Consequently, a person must refrain from any such act of power, because power is dedicated exclusively to the concept of Israel. Nothing that partakes of Brio can be performed by Shabbos. Which is why the Holy Spirit is Shabbos. Just arrest anyone. Shabbos is dedicated only to the concept of the realization of the potential that in years left can be populous. Now the Mishkan represented a fusion of both concepts. The concepts of Bria and the concept of Yitzhak. It represented the concept of Bria simply because in the construction of the Mishkan, various types of work that come within the scope of Bria were employed. And these types of work, come within the mandate of men, of Shabbat and Kim Amatris. There are certain types of work in the realm of Bria which are necessary. Sometimes it is necessary to resort to an act of Bria that is coupled with destruction, even in spiritual sense. In the Messianic era, it will not be necessary to resort to these activities. But until we will attain this era of release of Bria we have, to release the humanoid Mahar, we cannot help but resort under certain circumstances to these activities. If one person is observed to be making an attempt to kill another person, and the victim cannot be saved unless we kill and take away the life of the aggressor, then it is incumbent upon us to kill the aggressor. This is an act of Bria. It is coupled with destruction, with the taking away of a human life. But it has to be done to save the life of the victim. If a doctor examines a patient and he comes to the unavoidable conclusion that in the leg of the patient there is gangrene poisoning, and consequently the leg must be amputated, then the doctor performs an act of Bria. It's a productive act, a very important act, but it is coupled with destruction, with the removal of the leg. But it has to be done. So the Israelites have to resort to all these activities that involve destruction to a certain extent. But the concept of Bria that inhered in the Mishkan was fused with the concept of Yitzhak. The purpose of the Achiyat HaMishkan was that the Mishkan should inspire the Israelites towards a lofty and sacred existence. Now, I would say just point out that the Torah does not say חיים, ויוכל למקדוש ושוכלתי בשיחוי. ויסלבר סנצ'רי שאולת אי מידוואל נט, ויוכל למקדוש ושוכלתי בשיחוי. שאולת אי שאולת אמור דן. He blazed all over the land, in the hearts and the homes of each and every Jew. This means that the purpose of building a Mishkan was not to establish a sanctuary in one place, but the purpose was that the Mishkan should emanate to Shaw, to all the Jewish homes. Now, it is mentioned at the end of Kudai, that will be next week, but it has a bearing upon Vayakeo. Kichoyo asha, Balavios, Amiskon, Leomese, Toeya, Vetkokilov, Kosov, Koshov, Brichov, Amidov, Adolov, etc. Kichoyo asha, Kiva, Vishem, Leomese, אין אַז די סאָיל איז קאָלאַריט. אַ יאָר איז עס קאָלאַמע וואָך, די יאָר איז עס אַ שטייב אַ דעם צו נאָסו, אַ וואָר איז פֿליש. סאָ פאַקט איז מיין קיין אין קאַפּיט מיין ריי. דאָס איז מיין קיין די אַ פֿאַקשן, דאָ דער מיס קאָן וואָס קאַנסטראַקטעד אין אַ קאָרדן מיט אַלע די ספּעציפיקאַציעס. דאָ וואָר די אויף צו מאַכן. דאָ קאָלאַ שטייב אַ דעם מיין. קיין נאָסו, די סאָיל איז קאָלאַריט. The whole work was done according to the specifications revealed to Moshe. Then again, it reiterates, Haya Moshe Eskola Moho, the Yotra Yisro Asatira Hashem Tumas, I brought it to Moshe. Why again repeat Haya Moshe Eskola Moho? It is already mentioned, Tchila Asatira Hashem Ignatio, Tumas Ibn Yisro Eskola Moho.